I try to have my messages as well organized around a central theme and application, and today's not really like that. I would call today a random intersect of some recent experiences with some reflections on Jesus and prayer, okay? And they might come out quite random, but the good news, since it's not a central theme that I'm developing and moving towards an end, we could just stop in the middle when we run out of time, and we'll pick it up again next week and when there's more to do. But one of the things you hear us talk a lot about, and it was in that song, Majesty, "Forever I am changed by your love in the presence of your majesty." That what this is all about, gathering each week, we gather in his presence, we spend time in the presence of God throughout the week, and we believe and see that God is changing us by that. And so we talk about that idea of being changed. We really are followers of Jesus. We don't just think he was a wonderful person in history and he's a great subject for worship songs and all, but we really want to be like him. And the area that I want to talk to you about today and probably next week is that to be like him in prayer. Jesus valued and practiced prayer. While the American church talks about how much it values prayer. Now, does that seem harsh? I know that prayer meetings long ago went by the wayside. We have a prayer before service. We have prayer on Monday. We would have prayer meetings anytime. It's tough to get anybody together for prayer, other than a handful. I'm not really here today to try to shame you, guilt you. That sounded like, well, that's where we're going. Random thoughts. But I don't think it's harsh to say we have become a church in America that talks more about how important and powerful prayer is than people who have a sense of desperately being driven to prayer. And it's a little confusing to me because how bad should things have to get before the church says we need to pray? You would think if you looked at America, you would say, wow, the church, they must be on their knees just night and day praying because of the things that have happened, Ray, in our lifetime. I'm looking at some of the older ones. And not old, older than the teenagers that are here. Man. But the reality is that despite the demise of American moral values, there's been a corresponding demise, really, in at least public prayer. And I'm not going to really address that today. I think what I'd really like to do is, I'd like to just start with, why did Jesus pray? Now, if there's anybody in the world who didn't need to pray, probably it was Jesus. But we read stuff like this all the time in the scripture. Mark 1:35 says that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. That kind of thing is just there is over and over. It's easy to show in the scripture that Jesus had a habit of prayer. But why did he pray? I'm pretty sure it wasn't because of his request list. I'm pretty sure he didn't need to tell God what to do. So what was it about? Well, isn't the obvious answer? It's about being with his Father. It was about communication. It was about fellowship. It wasn't about getting answers to something. And I think this is the first big difference. We primarily pray to get answers, to get needs met. And maybe for those of you who only make it about 7 minutes into the message and then your mind starts to wander, All right, here's the point that I'd like you to go home with. The biggest change I think I would recommend about prayer would be to make it about being with the Father, hanging out together, and less about getting something from Him. Now, I'm going to talk quite a bit about that. So before I do, I want to emphasize the importance of intercession. Because obviously, interceding for others is a big part of prayer. And we had an example of that this week. And I want Ron to just stand. Some of you maybe know, do you want to come up here? No, I was going to just have you stand. I have a mowing customer, Hazel was one. And when Hazel's husband died, I sensed a loneliness. I said, Hazel, would you ever like some gals from the church to come over and do a Bible study with you? And she was all over it. I said, it won't be about denominations. It'll just be about Jesus. Oh, I'm all about Jesus. And so Rhonda and Sherry, and the next thing Hazel does is start inviting neighbors. The nerve. Anyway, Hazel was supposed to die this week. The doctors told us that. And they called in all the family from all over the world. And just describe what Hazel's conversation was like. Yeah. 96. So we find out that she's not dying. They took her off the medicine, and she got well, and better. I mean, she's alive. Sorry. And but her comment was something like, "Well, more time to tell all my grandchildren and my sons that God loves them, that He's real, and more time to pray for other people." So, you know, so intercession is a big part. But I think sometimes and we could tell from Hazel, it was about being with Jesus in prayer that is really impacting her life. So I want to give you this thought that, I probably preached it other times, but I'd like to give you the word alignment. I think one of the biggest things we do in prayer is be in God's presence and expect Him to align our will with His. We get the perspective on how we should live this day. We remember things that we haven't been doing spiritually. We remember that neighbor who is such an irritant is loved by God. Oh. And we find ourselves being aligned to Him. See these verses that speak of this for Jesus. John 6:38 says, "For I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of Him that sent me." Now, He wouldn't have any trouble remembering it, the basic principle, but He came not to do His own will, and so each day there's this aligning of His will with the Father's. John 5:19, He says, Jesus gave the answer, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does." So the Father is engaged in the world, in building in producing His kingdom, and Jesus would align Himself with whatever the Father's doing. Well, that's what I'm to be about. And John 14:10, a verse that I have loved for many years, "Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it's the Father living in me who is doing His work." So the words of Jesus were being aligned with the Father. And I think that's a huge reason for us to just spend time in the presence of God, because as we do so, we find an alignment taking place. His will, His words, His work, not just our own. So really, folks, When you go to prayer, don't be thinking about what I need to tell God to do about my situation. What do I need to hear and sense in my spirit from God about what He wants to do in these situations? Now, there's a couple of different views about how this was happening. So one view is that Jesus was off alone with the Father, and He was kind of being pre-instructed. He was being told who He would meet. He would be alert to situations. Maybe the Father was saying, "I plan to do this today through your life," and then Jesus went from that. I tend to think of it a little differently, and neither of us know. It's not explained how it's happening, but I know in my own life, I find that, and I think Jesus was building a mindset of listening and anticipating. And so in that time that He was alone with the God, it developed the whole approach to living was that He was looking for opportunities and He was listening for God's thoughts. And He was alert to the things that God would impress on him as he was in the situations moving through the day. And I like that view, because I also see it coming out in Isaiah 64:4. Because prayer is not just about talking, it's communication is equally listening. Do you enjoy someone who comes for a conversation and they unload for 20 minutes and then they take a breath and you still haven't had a chance to die? Prayer is dialogue with God. And look at Isaiah 64. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you who act on behalf of those who wait for Him. One of the poor interpretations of that is that waiting is somehow a passive word. Well, I'm just waiting to see what God's going to do. And that's not really a very good interpretation of the idea, the concept of waiting in the Bible. Waiting in the Bible is anticipation. It's waiting in expectation. It's alert and watching for what God is about to do. And I think that's how we are to live our life. We start through the day aligning ourselves, just being in His presence, just thinking thoughts about Him, so that now we're listening for His thoughts. And we approach a situation and we're thinking, Lord, what is it that You have in this? Why have You brought this about? Cindy and I were having a conversation about the value of just being quiet and reading our Bible. And I think, Cindy, you said there's a place in your home. Basement or upstairs? That's right. Yeah. That was the part I was thinking. So she can sit there and just time just kind of gets away as she's in His presence, thinking about some scripture or whatever. So we were reflecting on this, because what amazes me is it's usually when I fall behind in my Bible reading, and so I decide, man, I got to catch up. And so I might maybe do some in the afternoon, maybe after Rhonda's gone to bed. And sometimes I'm reading, you know, like through Ezekiel or Numbers, and some of those books are less than striking. Okay, they don't make you do that like Anna Marie was doing today. You know, they don't make you want to just get up and go. But so I don't want to say boring, because that doesn't really. But I'm aware when I get up from that that something has been happening in me. Just the idea of reading and listening to God and looking for something in His Word and responding to a prompting that I have kind of sets a tone that I can go through the day. Or if I do this on regular intervals, I'm building a mindset. And I have thought of this so many times. There was a chapter in my life where I decided I was going to, I wanted to advance this sense of seeking after God. And so I decided that for the morning, entire mornings, I wasn't going to do any desk work. I was just going to get quiet before God and listen. And I remember one morning I had just spent it in silence. There hadn't really been anything happen. And as I stood up, these words came to my mind forcibly. A lot of good that did you, didn't it? And I thought, wow, I think I know where that's coming from. So it was later that very day, I still remember I was taking a shower out at Broadwater, and suddenly these dramatic insights into my life started just flood. And I couldn't get home fast enough, and I grabbed a pencil and I wrote pages of insight into my spiritual life and condition. It had done me a lot of good. Aligning my thoughts, just being in His presence. So what about background noise? To turn off or turn on? That is the question. You need to learn yourself. Because for me, listening to music, that just is a terrible distraction. I'm distracted by music. And so, but others of you might find that music is the perfect environment that shuts out the noise of life. So you need to work through some of those issues yourself to know when and where and how will I get maximum effect of it. Let me just do one other short thing, and we'll probably pick up on here before again. But I wanted to ask a question. How did Jesus pray? And we read early in the morning He got up, but then we read there were other times that he prayed. And what I find in the Scripture that there's never a time where Jesus gives a formula of when to pray, where to pray, how to pray. He taught the disciples, and when He did, He gave them instructions about their heart, but never did He say, do this for this amount of time, give 5 minutes to adoration, then give 5 for confession, set your watch, do 5 for asking of things, and, you know, you don't find anything like that in the Bible. And what I conclude, you have great freedom in how to build your own life and day of prayer. And so I like it. First word was alignment. The second word was freedom. And that's where I backed off of my start, because I felt like, man, this sounds like another should message on prayer. You know, freedom will be much more powerful in your life than obligation. And if you leave here and your conclusion is, I really should pray more, I missed the boat. You missed the boat. Here's what I'd like you to leave. I'm free to talk to God anytime I want. I'm free to hang out with God all day long if I want, wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing. So I want you to think about that idea that you are free to communicate with God, to talk to Him whenever you want. So I'll close just with this, and then next week I'll pull in some of the other experiences and phrases. But this week, Rhonda and I and niece, on Thursday, we went over to Lolo, actually went to Missoula, to get in on the 50 miles of yard sales. It was a little bit of a disappointment. We only made 80 instead of last year's record, 113. And literally, I spent every dollar I had, every inch of space in my vehicle, and they were all closing. The timing, the money, and the space in my vehicle ended altogether. So I guess I was only supposed to go to 80. But the night before, Thursday night, I had one of the 5 most awful nights of my life, because I had gone to I had gone and forgot to take my gout medicine. And we went and we ate at Hoo Hut. And there's all these foods, and I don't eat a lot of them. And then there's all these sauces that are different. And somewhere about 11 o'clock at night, I realized I'm in big trouble. And by 2 and then by 4, I don't know if any of you have had it, but it was in my knee, and it was impossible to place my knee in any position laying down that within a few seconds, it was just throbbing unbearably. So 4 o'clock, I got up to, and I thought, well, I can't do this. So I got up and I sat for a little bit and walked and sat and walked. And I have to tell you what my first thought was. My first thought was, now don't start praying and have a meaningful time with God, or maybe he'll find other reasons to wake you up at 4 a.m. and call you to prayer. Is that pathetic? But I didn't want it to be a good time with God, or maybe he would take advantage of that and schedule a number of other 4 o'clock meetings. So, but then, you know, I began to see opportunity. And so, you know, some of you have been there. Something's got you. You can only pray about the subject of pain so long. And then you got to do something else. And so Bible verses start to come to mind. And I had this thought about maybe I should exercise gently my knee and I could break up whatever that uric acid that's forming in there. And somewhere in there, there was just an enjoyment of God. And the joy of thinking about his power and hope. Actually, the hour passed pretty quickly and pleasantly, just hanging out with God. So I guess I'm okay if he wants to wake me up for prayer like that, but I am taking my medicine with me in the future. Prayer. I'm a big proponent of weaving it into your life. Some of you that struggle with taking any time for concentrated prayer can build into your life. And that'll be the focus next week. How do we build into our lives more of an increased prayer life? And so today, think in terms of being alone, quiet before God is for alignment. And you're free to do it whenever you want. And he'll be there listening and fellowshipping with you. Let's bow together in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this subject. And we want conversation with God to be a regular theme, not something we put into a certain segment of time and, well, we got that over, or we did our duty. We want a life of conversation and fellowship with you. And so take these thoughts that we've expressed today and let them have value to us in Jesus' name. Amen.